At the beginning, I'd like to welcome those people that are video that are watching us through the miracle of video streaming. Hope you have not gotten the wrong channel, and we're there's a football game being played somewhere. Actually, I don't want to ruin this for anybody who TiVo'd the game, I won't mention the name of the team, but one of the teams is up at halftime, 22 to nothing. So it's not a very exciting game. Better to be here. Sorry. And I mentioned that it is Groundhog's Day, and that feast really is pretty old as well. And it goes, as you understand, a groundhog, Punxsutawney Phil, he's called in Pennsylvania, small town. When he comes out of his hole in the ground, if he sees his shadow and it frightens him, that means that there will be 6 more weeks of winter. Now, we haven't really been touched by winter very much here in California, but in the Northeast and the Midwest, they've had a very long winter, and he says there's going to be 6 more weeks of winter, unfortunately. But it's that, the light of the sun that causes him to see his own shadow and to be afraid of it. And it's that light that is connected to this feast of lights, of Candlemas, of the presentation of the Lord, of the light of Christ being brought into the temple and to reconsecrate it and renew it and to renew our world. I hope you noticed in Luke's gospel, 4 times it mentions that they're doing all this to fulfill the prescriptions of the law, to fulfill the law that Jesus and Mary and Joseph in their own simple way were observant Jews, and they followed all of the regulations of the law. And one of those was, that a child, would be brought to the temple and would be presented in the temple, and it was called a redemption, and that's why Joseph offered a small gift of 2 turtle doves or 2 small pigeons as a sign that God had given this child to them, and they are presenting the child in the temple to God, and then they're redeeming him with that small sacrifice. So they're able to take him home as well, even though they've just presented him in the temple. And there also was the purification. So this feast is sometimes called the Feast of Purification, that Mary, after giving birth 40 days after, would be ritually purified and welcomed back into temple worship. And further, the feast is also called the encounter, because old Simeon, who had been waiting all his life, and he was guaranteed by the Spirit that he would not close his eyes before they had seen the light of Christ, he spent a lot of days greeting all these young couples, bringing their children to be presented in the temple, and going from one to another and looking in, no, that's not it. And this one, and looking over and over again at all of these children. Finally, he sees Mary and Joseph, and when he sees the child, then he says, let me hold that child for a moment. And he looks into the eyes of baby Jesus, and he recognizes that now he has seen the light of Christ. And he says those famous words, Nunc dimittis. Now, Lord, you may dismiss your servant in peace, for these eyes of mine have seen the salvation promised to your people Israel, a light of salvation, of revelation to all the nations. It's beautiful. And then Anna is the great prophetess. Both of them represent all of the people of the Old Testament who have been waiting, longing for the blessing of God, for the light of Christ to come into the world. And so Anna, too, cannot stop talking about the light of Christ that she, too, has seen when this child is brought into the temple. It's a reminder to us, I think, of the many ways in which the light of Christ comes into our life. And I have to tell you, this week has been an extraordinary week and a great time of blessing for me, and I think for the other priests who are here in this parish too. On Wednesday night, we all went up and heard confessions, I think until almost 1 o'clock, of the high school seniors who are on a Kairos retreat. And then we had, actually on Thursday, all the lights, all the power went off in this campus in the afternoon. So this church is really dark when all the lights are out. There's only this little sanctuary lamp lit, and I had to come in and hear confessions. I came in wondering, is anybody going to be here? Because it's pitch black. And there were, I said, is anybody there? And they said, yeah, we're here. So I had a very small flashlight around my neck. And I said, well, come on in one by one. So they came in. And then, on Friday night, the men of the parish, about 90 of them were on retreat with Cornerstone. And again, we had 9 priests here, for that sacrament of confession, reconciliation. And then Saturday morning, we spent just about the whole week in confessions, because Saturday morning was first confession for these little children that average 7 years of age. And we had this church was full with the children and their parents and relatives, and they're preparing for their first communion as well. So, and I bring that up because for me, I don't think there are many instances where the light of Christ burns more brightly than in the faith of these people who are coming into be in the presence of the Lord to present themselves to the Lord, just as Mary and Joseph present Jesus in the temple to God. And I know some come with burdens that they are sad about and feel unworthy and all of that, and many come with sense that they're coming to have their sins forgiven, and I think they may even come thinking that they're just sinners, and yet I don't think the light of Christ burns more brightly than when a person comes, presents himself or herself before God. And in some ways, it's when we're at our very best, because we're opening our hearts to God, saying, I'm not perfect, I need your help. And we do that over and over. So to me, it's a great blessing. And I don't want to dwell on that any more than to say the light of Christ for me this week is all of these wonderful people that I've been blessed and privileged to be with in the sacrament. This week, we also had a bishop from Toulon, France, with 12 or 13 of his young priests who, they had heard about St. Monica's and the lights of Hollywood and all of that. So and imagine, you cannot have Hollywood without light. If you can't have a movie without light. Everything depends on having light. And our whole faith depends upon light. Not that it's the same thing as Hollywood by our stretch. In any case, the bishop, was able to spend a whole, afternoon here with Monsignor and some of the parish staff talking about you and how this parish is a light, even reaching as far as France. And he also visited with Rick Warren down at Saddleback Church. And this bishop is amazingly conscious of the ways in which we really have to let the light of Christ shine. And there are many ways in which that's shining in our world. And he just wanted to be in touch with those. He came to Family Theater and spent the afternoon with us as well. And it's just an amazing week. And for me, these readings come alive because of all of the blessings that I have had during this past week. And I think I speak for the other priests too. It's a great privilege to be a stand-in for our Lord in the sacrament of confession and in all the other things that we do. I wanted to share one little story with you as a way of conclusion. This is something that actually happened, and it's called, "Would You Hold My Baby, Please?" A young man was riding on a bus from Chicago to Miami, and he had a stopover in Atlanta, and while he was sitting at the diner in the bus terminal in Atlanta, all of a sudden, a woman with a baby in her arms came to him, and she said, "Sir, would you hold my baby for a second? I left my purse in the restroom." So he was almost shocked by this, but said, "Sure." And so he watched her as he held the baby in his arms, and as she moved across the room, she went to the front entrance to the terminal, and then she darted out of the terminal and went into this big crowd of people that was passing by, and he rushed out after her, but he couldn't find her anywhere, and here he was stuck with this little baby. And he said, "What do I do now?" And he said, should I just drop the baby on the counter and run off myself? So he finally decided to go to the Traveler's Aid, and they got the police involved, and then they found the real mother of this baby. The first woman had apparently, because of some desire to hold that baby for a few moments, she had taken the baby from the mother and then thought better of it and decided to disappear. He was able to present the baby back to her real mother. When we celebrate Christmas, when we celebrate this feast of the light of Christ presented in the temple, we're also faced with the same question, because we're presented with the child Jesus in our lives. And when we encounter him, what do we do with that child? Are we just handing it off to someone else? Are we embracing, welcoming, getting to know, falling in love with this Savior who is the light of our world and the light of our lives as well, the light that can lead us all to salvation? What do we do with it? This is really the final thing I want to say. This feast is at least 1,600 years old, and in the year 381, a young woman from Galicia, the northwest of Spain, decided to take a tour of all the holy sites. This was very difficult in those days, and she kept a journal as she went along. So we know very little about how they actually celebrated in those days, the early Christians, but this is what she said in her journal. "The 40th day after Epiphany is," and they celebrated Christmas and Epiphany, so we're actually 40 days from Christmas. She said, "The 40th day after Epiphany is undoubtedly celebrated here with the highest honor, for on that day there is a procession in which all take part. All things are done with the greatest joy, and all carry lit candles, just as at Easter. All the priests and after them the bishop preach." You're lucky, there's only one homily tonight. So. But she heard all of these sermons on this great feast. And they take as their subject that part of the gospel when Mary and Joseph brought the Lord into the temple on the 40th day. "And when everything that is customary has been done in order, then the sacrament is celebrated and the dismissal takes place." So the actual words of this young woman, Egeria, who then sent those back to her sisters, that was lost until 1887, I believe, and it was just discovered. And it's a real insight into what was celebrated way back then, the light of Christ in our world. And the light of Christ still is shining brighter than ever. And as we celebrate the Eucharist, in the presence of the Lord, where he nourishes us at the table with his living bread come down from heaven, we give great thanks tonight for this great feast that we celebrate, much more than Groundhog's Day and much more than any Super Bowl. It is the feast of the presentation.